And gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, once again, what an awesome honor and what an awesome privilege it is to come on this radio broadcast into your home, into your automobiles, through your radios, and those of you who are on the internet and are listening to our broadcast, what an honor. And what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes again and your automobiles and share with y'all, you know. The Bible calls it the greatest story that's ever been told, the greatest message that's ever been preached. You know, it's the story about Jesus Christ, and it's the message that Jesus Christ preached. You know, let me say it in the proper way. The greatest message that has ever been proclaimed, and the greatest story that has ever been told. You know, in that order, you know. The greatest message that has ever been proclaimed, and the greatest story has ever been told. What's the greatest message? The gospel that Jesus Christ preached to the mankind, to the people, to the multitude, to the masses, to the disciples, what he taught them, what he preached, not only what he did and who he is, but most importantly, what he said about who he is and what he did. You know, that's the greatest thing. That's the greatest message. You know, what's the greatest message, boy? What he said. And the greatest story is all the things that he did. So, boy, listen, the gospel is the good news about what he said, about what he did. And listen, if we're not careful, we get preoccupied with what he did. And everything that he did was a means to an end, to one end. And that end was the message that he preached. What he said about what he did. You see, what he did was a means to an end. It is the door into something. So again, I say, you know, what an honor and what a privilege to be able to come on this radio broadcast and share with y'all the greatest message that ever been proclaimed and the greatest story that's ever been told. Hallelujah. What an honor and what a privilege. Okay, so before we get started, let's go before our Father in heaven in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your amazing grace, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for your love, my Father, that you loved us with, my Father. Even while we were yet in our sins, Father, you showed your love for us, that even while we were yet in our sins, you hung, bled, and died, Father. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, my Father, that in your hanging and bleeding and dying, Father, you paid the penalty for all our sins, so that all our sins are washed as white as snow, Father. And for that, we say thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that because our sins are washed white as snow, then we can now come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in every time of need, Father. And for this, we say thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to say thank you for the gifts that's wrapped in the gift, my Father. The gift that the gift came to bring, my Father. And for that, we say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your kingdom has come and that your will is being done in earth just as it is in heaven. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will continue to do, Father, in creating us in your image and in your likeness, with dominion over the territory that you gave us, over all the earth, Father. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now, Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and Father, the ministry of under the ministry of the one that's at work in this earth today, and that's the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for your grace and your mercy. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your fellowship and your communion and for leading and guiding us into the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. So right now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, and we say that you would ask that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church today. That you would anoint these lips of clay, my Father, to minister to our needs, my Father, as I humble myself under your mighty hands. Say yes to your will and yes to your way. And that your kingdom come in our lives, and that your will be done in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And Father, this is the confidence that I have, that if I ask anything according to your will, hallelujah, then I know that you hear me. Thank you, Lord. And because I know that you hear me, then Lord, I also know that I have the petition. I have it, Father. I have it, that I have made known unto you. Therefore, Father, it is yes and amen, Father. And by faith, Lord, we call it done. And for that, we say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Mighty men and mighty women at the Most High God. I don't think I said that over in a few weeks on this radio broadcast. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Excuse me. Because that's who you really are. That's who we really are. We really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. And you know those mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God? That's what God is looking for. The Bible says this. God is looking for two and four years. Looking for men and women that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Well, he's looking for some men and women that he can do exploits through. That he can do mighty works through, honey. That he can do great things through. That he can do, boy, the same thing that Jesus Christ did upon his earth, that he can do the same things in and through them, honey. And I believe with all my heart that if you tune into this radio broadcast, and hallelujah, you're invited to that call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that you are who the Bible says that you are. And that you have what the Bible says that you have. And that you can do everything that the Bible says we can do. I decree and declare that we have that. Yes. Everything that this word says that we are, that's who we are. Everything this word says that we have, that's what we have. And everything this word says that we can do, that's what we can do. And we decree that and we declare that over this radio broadcast and in all of our life. Not by power nor by might, but by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without shape. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And listen to what it says next. And the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. But isn't that how, listen that carefully what it says there. The earth was brought, God created the heavens and the earth. Then it said the earth was broad and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. Listen to what happened. Listen to the Godhead in operation in creation. Bible says, in the beginning, God, the Father, created the heaven and the earth. And then it says the earth was born and without shape. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, moved out on the face of the deep. And he started hoovering over the waters. He waiting on what? He waiting on the second member of the Godhead, who? The Son. And listen to what the Bible says. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, and God said, who? God, the Father, the source and sustainer. What's this material? What's the Word. Who is Jesus? That's the Word. Hallelujah. And who is the Holy Spirit? And that's the power of Almighty God. That's the one who took the Word that came from the source and sustainer, the Father. Hallelujah. And brought into manifestation, into reality, exactly what the Father said. Do you know that same Spirit is the one that's at work in the earth today? He's the one that doeth the work. Listen, everything that God is doing in the earth today, boy, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by his Spirit that he's doing everything that he's doing. Them great and mighty ones, them great and mighty men that we are in Christ Jesus, ain't because of nothing that we've done. It's because, boy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon them. Not only in us, boy, but boy, what God wants to do is for it to come up to the fullness of it, to where they begin to flow out of us. And when they begin to flow out of us, then we not only impact our life, but we impact our circle of it. And boy, God can accomplish what he want to accomplish in this earth the way he want to accomplish it. Listen, everything that he's doing, I say it again, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit uses, what's the material that the Holy Spirit uses? The Son. Everything that the Son said. I told you it's the greatest message that ever been proclaimed. It's not just what the Son did. Hey, listen, he leading and guiding me into the truth of that too. But boy, what's more important, boy, is what leading and guiding us into everything that the Son said. Mm-hmm. Boy, the Son said some great things. In fact, you know, our eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't heard, and they ain't entered into our heart. Especially those who might be still stuck in religion for the things that the Son said. You know about the things that the Son did and who the Son is, you know, is portion of it. But baby, in most cases, man, most believers don't know what all that the Son said. Because, boy, when you come to the knowledge of what the Son said and how God manifests what the Son said, not by might nor by power, whatever the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the deep, and God spoke. And when God said, then the Holy Spirit had the material to work with. The Holy Spirit took the word of God and manifested exactly what he said. That's the same Spirit that's at work in the earth today. That's the same Spirit that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, man, when he became an unholy vessel, when he committed high treason, when he rebelled against the known will of God. The greatest thing that he lost was that divine connection, worship of God and mankind. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. And listen, the Holy Spirit can't dwell in unclean temples. Hallelujah. How God getting the work done through his Holy Spirit? How is he getting it done through his Holy Spirit? Who knows the mind of God, the Bible says, save the Spirit of God? So the only way we can know what God is doing and what we got to do to help God carry out what we're doing, we need to know what he's doing. And the only way we can know what he's doing, we got to know his mind. The only way we can know his mind, we got to, that's only revealed by the Holy Spirit. Like I said, who knows the mind of God save the Spirit of God? Who knows what God thinks? Who knows what God originally intended and idea and purpose and destiny for our lives is save the Holy Spirit? I told you, boy, you ain't working nothing. That's the most powerful person on the earth today. It ain't the Pope. It ain't no religious figure. The most powerful person on the earth today is the Holy Spirit. And boy, let's tell you something. What he mean and guiding, boy, listen to the truth. Well, you know one of the last things that Jesus did before he left the earth, boy? He did two things. He breathed under the young. He said, whew. And then he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Hello. What the righteous demands of a just God was met. The penalty for sin was paid in full. Boy, I'm talking about, boy, and the answer to death was swallowed up in life when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And boy, that separated us from God, boy, that divine connection, man, the gift that the gift came to bring, the greatest gift of all, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Was able, man, to be reconciled, reconnected, man, back to man again. Our sin separated us from him. We were separated from it by sin. And listen, not your sin, by the original sin, the sin of Adam. That's what separated us from the Holy Spirit. He can't dwell in unclean temples. So when Adam rebelled and the Holy Spirit left, that's the first thing. That's the first death, separation of man from the Holy Spirit, from God. The next death was they were put out of the Garden of Eden. Now they separated from the presence of God. And then there's the third death, physical death. When your spirit leaves this physical body that you live in. But listen, boy, you know what he came proclaiming and decreeing and declaring? That the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God, hallelujah, what are the gift of God is eternal life. What are the gift of God is eternal life. Say that again. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, somewhere up in there. The Bible says this, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Boy, listen, you know what the Holy, you know, how you manifest that in my life, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you need, man? You need the word. Listen, God said this, my word will not return unto me, boy, but it's going to accomplish everything that I sent it to accomplish. So he sent his word, boy, and all he needs now is his word to be returned back to him. what he said, my word would not return to me void. That means he didn't send the word already. That's what the Holy Spirit did. He didn't send the Holy Spirit already to. I told you one of the last things Jesus did before he went up to took his seat at the right hand of the Father was breathe upon them and say, hey, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Another place in the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. You need to know about the third member of the Godhead. You need to know about who's at work in the earth today. You need to know who is doing the work in the earth today. It ain't us. It ain't what we can do for God and what we are doing for God. But what God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost has done, is doing, and will continuously be doing for you and I. This is what we can do for them is a good thing. But boy, what they can do and doing and for us is a far greater thing. And if you're not careful, man, I say this many times, the enemy's most successful tactic against us is to preoccupy us with the good thing, what we can do for him at the expense of forfeiting the great thing, what he has done for us and what he's continuously doing for us. Never don't ever want you to know that. Hey, listen, what he's done for us and everything else, that's the message that Jesus Christ came to proclaim. And listen, the way God is revealing that to his people is not by power, nor by might, not by good, man, you know, motivational messages and messages that hype us up. Yes, all that's good and all that's great. Like I told you, that's a good thing. But I'm talking about a greater thing. I'm talking about messages that are designed, man, and ministered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will remove burdens and destroy yokes. The anointing. Not just the preached word of God, but the anointed word of God. That's what removes burdens and destroys yokes. Hallelujah. But I say it again. Everything that God is doing is not by power nor by might, but it's by his Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. And because of Adam's disobedience, all mankind was separated from that Holy Spirit. And because of Jesus Christ's obedience, all mankind who was separated from the Holy Spirit because of sin that we were born in and shaped in the iniquity, because of what our big brother Jesus Christ did, has cleansed us up from all unrighteousness. For the Holy Spirit that once dwelt in all of us who were in Adam in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, can come back and take our residence on the inside of us. So that what purpose on it? So that God can complete the work that he begun. Listen, he said this, let us make man in our image and our likeness. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father has a part to play. The Son has a part to play. And the Holy Spirit has a part to play. Listen, the Father part to play, boy, he's the source and the sustainer. He's the creator. He's the one who created everything. He's the source and the sustainer. He created us. And listen, the Bible says, boy, on the seventh day, he rested. So he finished. But he created us. And listen how he created us. I say it all the time on this broadcast. He created us in his image and his likeness. With his characteristics, with his character, with his nature. With the ability, boy, to function like him. To act like him, to think like him, to talk like him, to walk like him, to be mighty just like him, to be a masterpiece because of the fact that we are a piece of the master. He said, let us. So the Father had a part to play in the end. The Father finished his part in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. The Son had a part to play too. The Son part, boy, his part is to give us the life. Give us that life. What life? The life of God. Who's the source of it? The Father. Who's the life? The Son. Where's the life at? The life is in the Son. Who is the Son? That's the Word of God. Where's the life at? The life is in the Word. That's why that's what the Holy Spirit needs. He needs the life that's in the Word. We don't need just men being able to well articulate a word and have a degree in theology and know all those things like that. Listen, all that's good and everything else, but if this ain't anointed, ain't no yoke going to be destroyed, ain't no burden going to be removed. Might be some stirring up of our emotions and everything else. And the purpose, that's a good thing, listen, but that's a means to an end, too. The purpose for good inspiration of message are to inspire us to go and get some information. I'm going to say it again. The purpose for all the inspirational messages, man, that we have, man, are to inspire us to go and get some information. Hallelujah. So that you can know the truth on what God is doing. So we can see from our words, what's our words trying to appease the deity or trying to reach God through our religious rituals and ceremonies and traditions. But we will see from all our words and enter into a rest. What rest? The same rest that God rested with. He finished. Hallelujah. And even though, boy, what he started, man, had a bump in the road, man, and something happened, boy, listen, he sent his only begotten son, boy, to fix up everything that Adam messed up. Everything that Adam messed up, Jesus Christ came and blessed up. Sin and death came upon all mankind through one man, disobedient Adam. And just like sin and death came upon all men through Adam's disobedience, boy, even so have the forgiveness of sin and righteousness and eternal life come through one man, Christ Jesus. Glory. Hello. He came, baby. And he came and did some things. He came and yes, he came and redeemed our life from that destruction that we all had in Adam. The sin that we were born in and the iniquity that we were shaped in and the death that was the result of. Boy, God so loved us, boy, so much that he sent his son, boy, to redeem our lives from that destruction, to pay the penalty for all our sins. Hallelujah. When he came up on this earth, remember what he said? It is finished. Let me paraphrase. Father, the work that you sent me to do, what you sent me to do? You sent me to get your children. Those who were lost in trespasses and dead in trespasses and sin. You send me to get your children, to not only redeem their life from destruction, but to restore them back to their original place in you. Hallelujah. 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 Well, that's what Jesus Christ came preaching to the people. Nobody came preaching to the people, boy. Hey, listen, to all mankind, he said, listen, everything that God was talking to Adam and Eve about in the garden, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that your eyes ain't seen and your ears ain't heard, nor has it entered into your heart yet at this point, all the things that God, boy, created for you and has in store for you, and that's your inheritance and everything else, boy, that's what I come to tell you. That's what I come to restore you back to. Well, I couldn't restore it back to you, boy, what God was talking to Adam and Eve about, man, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me say this to you. Let me try to paint a picture. Can you imagine what life was like in the Garden of Eden when God was in constant fellowship with his family of sons that was in Adam and Eve? And all his offspring that will come from them. Can you imagine what kind of life, what it was like on earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Can you imagine, man, what we'd be doing if Adam on the earth, if Adam and Eve, can you imagine what it would be like on the earth? If Adam and Eve know it ain't out the tree. And can you imagine what would you be doing on this earth? If Adam and Eve, what would life be like on the earth if Adam and Eve know it ain't out the tree and not the good? I tell you what it would be like. It'd be like heaven on earth. Glory to God. What it'd be like? It'd be heaven on earth. It won't be like it'd be there. No, it'd be like it'd be heaven on earth. It'll be on earth just like it is in him. Hallelujah. 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 And boy, what was going on? And what boy was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, boy, doing exploits through them, using mankind, boy, to help him accomplish what his will and desire and purpose and intent for mankind really is, but to help him. Not to try to get him in on what we want to do for him, for us to find out what he's doing, and boy, and allow ourselves to incorporate ourselves in on what he do. Not try to incorporate him in on what we do, but allow him to incorporate us in on what he do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, that's what Jesus Christ came to restore back to mankind. What was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before they ate out the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That life, that kind of life, that Zoe life, that God kind of life that's created in the image and likeness of God, that functions like God, lives like God, talks like God, walks like God, acts like God, just like God, that life, boy, that's on the inside of all of us, we come to restore that life back to us. What life was there, boy? The life that Adam and Eve and all mankind had in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what the Bible calls that? In that place, that spot, that garden of Eden, he called it, boy, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the life and lifestyle of it. And life the way God lives, and life the way God originally intended for you and I to be. How is that, Arthur? Holy and without blame. And watch this. And covered in his love, glory to God. Say that again, Arthur. Covered in his love. Do you know his love covers a multitude of sins? That's all your sins. That's all my sins. Hallelujah. And listen, brother, I don't want to say that. That's another lesson. But listen, God's grace is not to cover up your sin. That ain't what God's grace is for. And God's grace don't give us no legal right to admission to sin because our sins are covered by God's grace. Listen, your sins covered by God's grace, but that's a result of something that boy, what God's grace covers. God's grace covers way more than your sin. God's grace covers the root cause of our sin. What sin God grace covered? The original sin. The sin that Adam committed. That's what God grace covers. Glory to God. Before you even ever came forth, before you even were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, before Adam ever had any children, his sin. And his sin was brought all the sins. There's I am with an S on it, into the human race. So all the sins that's in our lives, the things that are not holy, that's a result of one man's disobedience, one man's sin. That's what God's grace covers. And because God's grace covers Adam's sin, because all of our sins are in Adam, and that means all our sins are covered too. But ain't no, it's just individual. It's because his grace covered the original sin. Whether you receive it or not, it's a gift from God. That's what God doing. That's what God did. That's what he's doing. That's what he continuously be doing. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto us. To who? To all of us. To who are to all mankind. Not just some. Listen, he's not willing that none should perish. But that all men may come to repentance and pray, that all men might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are you going to get that done, Arthur, boy? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So what Jesus did, Jesus came and redeemed our life from that destruction that Adam sold us into, and restored us back to the original place that God had and established for us to be in. That the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Let me say it in a simple way. The kingdom of God, what God is doing and God's way of doing what he's doing. The kingdom of heaven, all the attributes and lifestyle and inheritance of heaven, all that heaven had and all that heaven is and all that it consists of as our inheritance that was prepared for us, watch this here, before the foundations of the world. That's something that you're trying to earn. That's something, man, that was ours before the foundation of the world. I told you we lost it in Adam. And then Jesus Christ has been restored back to us. What? All of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, that's what he came preaching. That's the message that he came proclaiming. What? Repent. What? Change your way of thinking. Change your mind. Change your whole mindset. Why? Because all of the kingdom of heaven, man, is available to you. And boy, this kingdom of heaven is 100% totally opposite and different from the way you were born, trained, brought up to live life. We were trained, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And born in a world system here that's different from the world that God set up on earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Before Adam and Eve ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you and I were born, we were born, boy, in the wilderness, separated from God. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Dead and trespassing and sin. Why, Arthur? Because the penalty for sin is death. But, that is again in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. Say that again, Arthur. The gift of God is eternal life. Where is that life at? That life is in his Son. So the Son came to bring that life back, and the Son on the cross, he said this, Father, the work that you sent me to do is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Bob said he gave up the ghost. He threw. Well, his role in the scene, what his role in the scene? To give us that life. And he went on to heaven. The Father threw. On the seventh day he rested. The Son threw. Remember what I said earlier? Before he rose and went up to heaven and took his seat at the right hand of the Father, Bob said he breathed upon his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. If it is expedient for you that I go away, because when I go away, then the same anointing, the same power, the same ability, the same Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me, now boy, I'm going to send him back to you. And the work that I do, I want him to do too. So tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Now watch this here. And you shall be a witness, not for me, but unto me. What's the difference? A witness for Jesus, man, is going and proclaiming all that Jesus did, all who Jesus is. That's a witness, man, for Jesus. But watch what the Bible says. For when you receive the power from the Holy Ghost, then you shall be a witness not for me, but a witness unto me. What's a witness for me? It's talking about all the good things, telling people about all the good things that Jesus did and all that Jesus said. I mean, not so much that he said, but all that he did and who he is. You know what a witness unto Jesus is? And not just man going about saying who he is and what he did, but man, close it. Doing what he said and what he did. Not just a witness, man, about Jesus, but doing what Jesus did. He said this, the works that I do shall you do also. You shall be a witness unto me. Just like I lay hands on the sick, you can lay hands on the sick too. Just like I come and share the good news of the kingdom of God, that it is back on this earth and your inheritance, and come and get your inheritance that was yours before the foundation of the earth. And just like my assignment was to go into all mankind, I let them know that you too, that's your assignment too. Just like I have power over all the powers of my enemy and no weapon formed against me can ever prosper, and I have power over death, hell, and the grave, and so do you. As a witness unto Jesus. Just like I lay hands on the sick and they recover, and so do you. Just like I preach the gospel of the kingdom into all the world as a testimony to every nation, and so do you. Just like I cast out devils and go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, so do you. Just like me, I destroy all the works of the devil, so do you. You don't just talk about what I did, you go and do what I did. Why? Because as I am, so are you. Listen, Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works and everything that he did unto himself. He's the first one that God really showed men great things through and exploits through. And he's looking for men and women, like I said earlier, that he can do the same things through. Same thing that he did with great exploits, same thing that he was doing in Jesus. And what he want to do in all those who are called according to his purpose. What he came to do, what Jesus came to bring? He came to bring a government and a kingdom. An everlasting ruling authority. What a government is, that's a ruling authority. What a kingdom is, that's a territory over which that ruling authority has power, control, and influence. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus Christ came with. What? A government on his shoulder. What's a government? A ruling authority. What ruling authority? A ruling authority of Almighty God. What God is doing, what God is seeing, what his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our life. That's why boy God said, boy, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. In time past, I spoke to you through the prophets, through the law and the prophets, boy. And thank God for the law and the prophets, everything that he done through Moses and everything that he said through the prophets. But boy, the law being fulfilled and the prophecy being fulfilled. The law being fulfilled in Christ Jesus and the prophecy, ain't no Messiah coming. The Messiah came, did what he supposed to do, and gone back up to the hill. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting till his enemy, who is that devil, and his old mankind life, then be made his footstool. What is he? He the head. Who are we? We the body. He waiting on us, boy, to accomplish, man, to enforce a victory that has already been won. To accomplish what he's on, the victory that he's already won. To enforce it. Not try to get in that man to enforce what you already have. Not trying to live right, man, to get saved, but live right because you are saved, God. Not trying to reach up to heaven, man, but boy, receive the heaven that Jesus Christ came to bring back down to us. Boy, his message was this, boy, the kingdom of heaven is at your hand. It's within your reach. It's here. It's among you. It's here. That's the government that I came to bring back. And the Bible says, now this kingdom there shall be no end. But what's the kingdom? That's the territory over which that government and influence has power, control, and influence over. And in the territory where that government influence has power, control, and authority and free and reign in, then boy, the kingdom of heaven. All that it consists of, all of his inheritance that belong to us, has always been ours, can begin to be manifested in our lives here on earth. Here on earth, in this life, here on earth, just like it is in heaven. I know we know we ain't gonna reach the fullness of, but it is come. And our assignment now, man, is to go on to receive the end of our salvation, which is the salvation of our soul. How we do that, all I come to the third member of the Godhead. Who is that, boy? That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, boy, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna send you back to comfort. And when I come, he shall lead and guide you into the truth. He shall bring you in remembrance of everything that I told you. We've been talking about, he's talking about that third member of the Godhead, the one that's at work in the earth today. I told you the Father's through, the Son through. The one that's in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. What he needs? He needs the word. He don't need just any word. He needs that word that God was speaking, man. Not in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. That word that he was talking to men, to Adam and Eve about, and mankind about, man, before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good, who they was and who they are, and what they have and what they can do and what kind of character and what kind of nature and what kind of power and what kind of ability and what and who they really are and where they really come from and why they really here and what they really can do and where they really going to end up and what it really going to be like and the destination and everything that's good and perfect and honest that come down from the Father of life. For what purpose, Arthur? So it might be in our territory that he gave us the earth, just like it is in his territory. But that's what he's doing, man. That's what his church, that's his church. Jesus said, upon that rock right there, who? But who I am and what I'm doing, who? That's why people say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for Jesus, man. That was Mary's boy. But boy, let me tell you something. That's another boy, man. That's God's boy. That's Christ's glory to God. Jesus, that's Mary's boy. But Christ needed a body to be legal. Hallelujah. Who is Christ? That's God's boy. That's God's original son. That God's boy son who was slain before the foundation of the world so that everything that we lost in Adam, man, can be restored back to us in the fullness of time. And boy, the good news that I got to tell you, boy, the fullness of time has come. It was 2,000 years ago. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful man. Ah, that's Jesus. That's the Bible. Who is the son? That's Christ. For what praise all you, you might redeem our lives from that destruction and restore back to us, God, where we, who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up in. Hallelujah. 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 How you doing that again, Lord? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, see the Lord. Boy, he's the one that's doing the work in earth today to lead us into the reality of that. What do you need, Arthur? He need a word. He's hooping right now over the darkness and the deepness in your life. And what, boy, he waiting on a word. What word he waiting on? Let there be light. Let there be illumination. Let there be knowledge, man, again. Let knowledge, man, the original knowledge, man, come back to the earth again. Let the kingdom of God, man, come back to the earth again, where the original intent and design, purpose and destiny for mankind's life, man, boy, let there be light. And boy, the Holy Ghost, boy, took that light, man, and boy, light been being ever since. And men and women, man, been being translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're coming out of religion into relationship. You're coming out of the wilderness, man, into it, boy, back into the Garden of Eden. We'll stop dying. We'll stop and dying like mere men and mere women and becoming men, the mighty men, mighty women of God that we really are. The sons of God that we really are. And instead of dying like mere men and mere women, boy, we living like God. Little G God. Little offsprings of God. Little masterpiece of God. Living like Jesus lived, man. Acting like Jesus acted. Talking like Jesus talked. Walking like Jesus walked, man. How God doing that? What the Holy Spirit need? He need the gospel. What gospel he need? He don't just need the gospel of Jesus. That'll get you saved. But saved ain't the goal. That's a means to an end. You're saved for a purpose so that you can be restored back to your original, who you really are, where you really come from, why you're really here. You ain't here just to have church, man, and on Sunday, man, and try our best to make it in, man, and hope that when we all die, we all make it to heaven and live in heaven with God for it. That ain't destination. That ain't the destination. That's not the destination that God has for your life. For all mankind life. The destination for our lives is where he man begun it at, man. He begun it in heaven, but he brought us down to the earth. And there he formed a body from the earth. And he planted a garden. And he placed that body with his spirit, made his little offspring in. That's where he started at in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And Revelation chapter 21, that's where it's gonna end up in. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down, and the dwelling place of God with the sons of men. And it was on earth just like it is in heaven. That's where it ended up there, where it started at, on the earth. You know how it's going to be in the end, know what the destination is. They're going to be on earth. Just like, you're going to be on earth. They're going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. That's what God's doing. And he's looking to and fro the earth, looking for men and women, boy, that will get in on what he's doing, man. Come sit at his feet and learn of him and allow, boy, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, boy, to do his work on the inside of him. To come, boy, sit at the feet of Jesus and get man and find out not just, man, who he is and what he did, but most important, find out what he said. That's why the Bible says, boy, this here. The greatest thing that mankind ought to go after is number one pursuit is this, boy. The Bible says this, seek ye first what, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, your righteousness is like filthy rags. The best you could do is like filthy rags. If it did, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit doing this, quit doing that. Obey all the Ten Commandments. Man, and start living, man, the best you could from here on out, man, that's like filthy rags. Why? Because you ain't already seen it. And the penalty for that is death, but you can't save yourself. You can reach all you want to. You can try to appease him all you want to. It ain't going to be nothing. The best you can do is like you do that. But God loved us so much, boy, that what we couldn't do, he did. And boy, he used the foolishness of preaching. Not just anything. Boy, listen, that's an end time message. What message is that on? This gospel of the kingdom. This message, I'm telling you, boy, it's been hidden, man, in the graveyard of religion for the last 1,800 years. I don't think I'll be stretching it if I see it. And man, boy, the devil and preoccupied us with the good things at the expense of forfeiting the good things. What's the good thing? What Jesus did. What's the great thing, boy? What he said. About what he did. What he said, what he did is automatically contained in it. Listen, you can preach all about what he did, how he unstopped Jephthah, and how he brought rose from the dead, and how he did this, and how he did that, and all the history of it, and all the celebrated birthday, and all those good things like that, and everything else, and tell about, boy, how God raised him from the dead. Devil don't mind you preaching that, the gospel of Jesus. That's the good news about Jesus. Knowing you don't preach the good news that Jesus preached. Knowing you don't discover that. Knowing you don't discover, like I told you, the greatest message and the greatest story that ever been told, world boy. The restoration of God's kingdom back on the earth. Not just the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, how he died upon the cross for our sin. All that's the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. But again, that's a means to an end, but to the restoration work of the Father, the Most High God. What restoration work? To restore us back to our original place. Hallelujah. Then send the Holy Spirit, the mind of God, the teacher, to lead and guide us into the reality of it, the truth. He's the one that do the work today. So it's very important, man, that we not only know about the kingdom, but we know of the government, by the governor of the kingdom. And that, boy, hey, listen, man, we receive the Holy Spirit that God breathed upon all mankind. He said the last day the whole earth should be filled with the Spirit and the Lord. How you going to get that done, boy? Through us, through the church, through the men and women who are looking to and for the earth to show himself strong on their behalf. How to do that, Lord? To fill them with the life of God. And to place them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that they might be witnesses, not just for Jesus. That's inclusive in it. But witnesses unto Jesus. Not just a witness for Jesus, but a witness unto Jesus. Not just to go and tell people, boy, what Jesus did, but to go and do what Jesus did. Hallelujah. What you really did? Destroy the works of the devil. What you did, boy, I said, redeem mankind, life, and destruction. You can do that too. What you did, forgave sins. You can do that too. How? By going into all the world, going into your circle of influence, coming to the knowledge of it, and then, man, going into back into your circle of influence, and, man, letting people know that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses against him. Hey, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at that, is all that's in the kingdom. And you know what the good news is, boy? You know what the invitation is? Come. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Come. Who's the invitation to? To every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl. Come get your inheritance. What inheritance? The kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. The way it had been made. The righteous demands of a just God has been met, and the penalty for sin has been paid in full. Now the kingdom of God, boy, let me tell you something, boy. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a great king that gave a great banquet, boy, for his son. Inviting all his sons. That's all mankind. That's all of us. That's what Jesus Christ came preaching, y'all. You come, you're invited to a great banquet. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a great banquet for his son. Can you imagine what kind of banquet was then? Good God of mine. A royal banquet. I'm talking about a great king. It's the same thing, boy, Jesus Christ come preaching. Boy, the king, the Most High God, had prepared a man a banquet for all his sons. The invitation, man, is to come on, man, to the banquet. Come on, man, and enjoy, boy, and feast at the table and eat up the bread of life and live forever and ever. And drink out the water of life and live forever and ever that you never thirst no more. And I said it earlier. He said, your greatest pursuit, boy, is seek that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, man, God knows what. Before he said that, he said something earlier than this. Isn't that careful? You take the scripture out of context and David, do that, just make it say anything you want. The first thing that happened was, man, he told him, man, you don't have to take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to live. See, they're concerned. He know what our desire is and what our concern is. How we going to live? How we going to make it? How we going to survive? He know what our interest is. He know that our interest is in things. That we want things. That we want good life. That we want healthy life. That we want prosperous life. That we want, man, fulfilled life. That we want, man, you know, man, to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. He know that we want all those things that we want. That pertains to life and godliness. Who don't want to be